This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday, and we pledge allegiance to our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Supreme Savior. Today we remember his words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Today's scripture readings reflect his glory and power. Listen to what is written in the first chapter of Ephesians. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Today, we are reminded of his promise that he will return. He will return someday, and we want everyone here to be ready. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." This entire passage talks about judgment that will take place when Christ returns and a separation between those found worthy to inherit the kingdom and those who, will go away into eternal punishment. It is not a comforting passage that I've just read you, especially considering the reason given for the separation. He will say to the Blessed One, "Come, inherit the kingdom, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Those found to be righteous in the judgment, now listen to this, they were surprised and puzzled. And then they said to Jesus, "Wait, when did we do this to you, Lord? When?" And the king will answer, "When you did it to the least of my followers, you did it to me." And that'd be a great place to close out this sermon, because that's the key. If you did it to one of our Lord's people, the lowliest, you did it to him. Now, unfortunately, we come to the bad news. Those who did not share food and clothing with the needy, those who did not welcome strangers, did not care for the sick and visited no one in prison, are accursed. And what happens? They burn in hell. That's what happens. I told you this was not very comforting. In fact, this is one of the parts where you start shifting weight in the pew a little bit and go, I wonder where I stack up in this point. Do the judgment passages in the Bible create uneasiness in your faith? Is there a question mark in your mind as to where your place will be on Judgment Day? Well, if there is, we better talk about this now, because there should not be. We said this 2 weeks ago. Same time, same place. There should not be a doubt in your mind that you are saved by Christ. You will go to heaven. I don't want anybody ever to walk out these doors with uncertainty about your salvation. I don't want anyone to leave here without the joy, the happiness of belonging in Christ's kingdom. Yes, there are passages in the Bible that can put fear. That's right, can put fear in you. For we must all appear. Make sure we are clear on this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that you might receive what's due to you for the things you've done while you're here in your body. Now, if you want to reference that's in 2 Corinthians 5. There are passages conveying good news and bad news. Good news for those found to be righteous, for us, and really bad news for those who are wicked. But these scary passages, the ones that frighten you, are to be feared only by those who reject God's grace and by those who rely on their own self-righteousness. They want to stand in judgment with who they are. For those who have been led to the saving faith in Christ, the concept of God's judgment, you should embrace it. You should love it. You should appreciate it. You should do it with gratitude that he is going to judge you. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but you should embrace it. It's good. You're acquitted. He did that with his precious blood. How many of us here could be judged righteous on the basis of treating people in need as we would treat the Lord himself? We know we are called to bear each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ, which says, very simply, the Lord says, love who? One another. Love one another. There are times when we perhaps do a good job of that, but come on, we don't do it all the time. We've not fed every hungry person. We've not cared for everyone who was sick. And honestly, I don't ever recall going to a prison to visiting anyone. Perhaps you have. I never have. Am I not as guilty as these other poor people that are sent away? I have not loved my neighbor as myself. I cannot be judged righteous, certainly by my own efforts. If I did, I wouldn't need a Savior, and boy, I need a Savior. We all do. When we have one, that's the great news. We have a Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself. He gave everything he had when he walked to that cross where he suffered and died for every one of your sins. Every one. And you go, all of them? Yeah. All the ones you've ever committed. All the ones that you've recently committed. And every sin you're going to commit the minute you leave this place. He has forgiven them all. Always remember that. Do we trust him completely with our salvation? Do we unconditionally place our eternity in his hands? Do we fully believe in his promises? Or do we trust in our own good deeds, hoping that maybe I'm doing something good that's going to offset something that I did that wasn't so good? Do we hope to get to heaven because we think we haven't, well, I haven't been as bad as so-and-so over here or over there? Yes, you are. Don't make that mistake. What's wrong with earning your own salvation? Well, first off, only 2 points here. First off, it doesn't work. It's just simple. There's no way to do that. And secondly, it's highly disrespectful to your loving God when you think you can do something that he has not already done. As I said a couple of weeks ago to you, he did everything. And it's, remember I said I didn't want to bust anybody's bubble or their ego? You haven't done anything. He has done everything for you. And yet we still go, well, maybe there's something I can do. No, there isn't. It's, you're either in or you're out. It's all or nothing. You're either in this game or you're out of this game. Either we trust Jesus Christ with our salvation or we trust in our own self-righteousness. You can't have them both. If we fully trust Jesus, we have peace with God and the assurance of our place in eternity. If you trust your own self-righteousness, you only end up with uncertainty and fear, because you can never, ever do it right. The other day I was reviewing this, and I was thinking about the comment I made earlier about you will sit in the judgment before the judgment seat, and you will. Have you ever thought about that? You're sitting in a chair. Jesus is right in front of you. What are we going to say? What are you going to say when he says, what do you have to say for yourself? Well, I think it kind of goes like this. This is me. Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged, and not only that, I am so incredibly ashamed of my sins. And I really am sorry. But you know, Lord, in all honesty, you paid for every one of them. And Lord, I know I'm not a good child. But I am your child. You've already taken care of my sentence. I believe this with all my heart and gratefully receive this gift of grace. With full trust, I claim your promise that all who believe in you have eternal life. Maybe that's what we say. We are new creations in him. Now we live a new life in Christ out of grateful response for what he has done already for us. Now we pledge our allegiance to Christ, the King of Kings. Will you not invite him to rule in your lives now? Now the process of transformation takes place when we begin to grow. We grow in our understanding of his plan for us. We do that through studying the Bible. We do that through prayer, answering his call to be ambassadors in the world, loving him and loving others. And I would close by saying, let us today pledge allegiance to Christ, King of Kings. Trust him completely with our life, with our eternity, and let his life-transforming power rule in our heart. Let us grow together as God's beloved children, encouraging one another and building up each other in the unity and purpose of harmony. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding mount guard over your spirit until life everlasting. Amen.